Yes, sir.
Okay, sir, you want to come up here?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips is here, your PO, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'm just going to go over some information, sir, then I'm going to ask you some questions and... So you're actually home arrest at this time. You were granted home arrest on September 14th of last year, is that right?
No, sir, I think it was the 13th.
Okay, just by this record, it just had September 14th of last year, so I'm just going by that. But you were granted home arrest at that time, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Somewhere on or about, let me say it like that.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you were in prison serving a armed robbery and a life sentence for first-degree murder?
I was in prison for a life 25 and a consecutive 12 years for armed robbery.
Okay. So, sir, what have you been doing since you've actually had the opportunity to be out?
I immediately addressed my Social Security and received my Social Security card, and come to find out somebody was using my number, so it took me a while to receive my ID and yes. And then they forwarded me straight to Department of Economic Security for access, because I have chronic illnesses and some physical disabilities. And I've been very supported by my mother to transport me and supervise me to all my medical appointments. And I've received nutritional assistance, and I've reapplied and been reapproved for my nutritional assistance for the rest of the year. And I have my access card. I actually have three of them.
We'll take your word for it, sir.
Yes, sir. And I've been getting full cooperation through my medical treatments and my medical appointments, referrals from a clinic that refers me to these. And I actually went just after the first of the year and had a colonoscopy surgery, which they removed three polyps from my intestine tract.
Okay.
And that all came out good and clear through those surgeries at the first of the year. And I'm continuously waiting for my approval for my treatment of my vaccine treatment for my Hippocratic the diagnosis. And I just 2 weeks or just a month ago, come Friday, the 20th of last month, I retook A and B vaccines, and I'm supposed to go again on Friday to take the 30-day follow-up so they can show that I've took these vaccines so I can get the treatment, future treatment to heal my virus in my blood. And yes, sir.
So you also had the assigned to attend anger management. Are you still going to?
Yes, sir. I am. And I've completed two books. Anger management, I brought them today. It is a DOC and a state Maricopa County anger management pilot that I've been fully complying to. And I also have, with my clinic, I also take behavioral health counseling once a week on top of my other treatments, therapies.
Okay. So also you had to submit to four UAs and they were all negative, but it also says that you missed a UA. Why did you miss one?
I was hoping not to miss that one, sir.
Okay.
As soon as I was informed that I had one, I immediately went to the treatment center, the TAS treatment center, and then followed the, right after the UA, I went straight to the department to speak to the supervisor.
Okay.
So thoroughly.
Because I was the next day?
It was, supposedly it was on a Friday that they, the number came up, color came up, and I didn't know. I was previously trying to get a hold of my parole officer, but I didn't know that I didn't have the color come up. But as soon as I was informed, I went immediately to there, and immediately to the parole office.
Okay. So how long was it after that one miss you made? How long was it after that you took it? Was it a day, 2 days, 3 days?
As soon as they informed me, I really didn't know it was on Friday.
Okay, so it was on Friday, so when did you...
That's what they said. They said that it came up on Friday, so Monday,
so
when was there.
So it was on Friday, so did you go Friday? Did you go Saturday, Sunday, that Monday, Tuesday? When did you actually...
I was informed on Monday to report to the TAS, and then report to the pro office.
Okay, so...
And they asked me if I was using drugs, and I told them no. Okay. They asked me if I was using alcoholic beverages, and I told them no.
Okay.
And I don't. And I don't plan on ever using any of those substances ever again.
Okay, so you missed it on Friday, and you went and took it on Monday.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get you to understand. So it also says in the progress report that you failed to adhere to your itinerary of controlled movement. What happened? Where were you going when you didn't?
I'm not quite sure of the event that you're discussing, but I am aware that I was then again informed immediately to report to the parole office.
Right.
And I immediately, that within an hour, was at the parole office.
Okay, it just basically says that you stated that you didn't have any excuse. You simply stated that your mother took too long to get ready. So I'm assuming you were going to an apartment or something.
Yes, I was I've been supervised to all my appointments by my mother. I wasn't afforded a driver's license or transportation by the board at my last hearing. I would hope that the board would be more lenient on me this hearing to give me more lead to the public access than I have had, because I do not walk down my street. I stay on my property until I'm informed to for travel movement.
So you're aware now that you do have to call in every day, Monday through Friday, for tasks.
Oh, I do.
Okay, and then...
And I was.
Okay, so
yes, sir.
Did you call in that Friday that you missed?
I do believe I did.
And what happened?
I don't believe I heard my number or my color.
Okay, I also have in here a letter that you sent to the board dated April 1st, 2018.
Yes, sir.
That was directed to our executive director, Ms. Kirstenbaum.
Yes, sir.
We also have some copies of your sentence to a special verdict on August 20th, 1982, according with the prisons. And did you submit this letter and on your own behalf, thinking that you should that because of that verdict that you should get a absolute discharge at this time?
Well, I feel that I'm eligible to apply for an absolute discharge, sir, after completing the 25 years in 2006, serving 25 flat, and after serving the 25 flat years, I was paroled, just in a proclamation of parole, to serve my consecutive. And they said I would have to serve at least half of my consecutive. So in five and a half years, I went back before the board in 2011, and they said that they didn't parole me on my consecutive sentence for parole release under 31-412A parole from the 31-412B parole that I made, slash 411. That's a parole with absolute discharge in 2006. I'm sorry. And then, so, I feel that now that I've completed the 25 and the 12 years, and this is now from 1981 crime to 2006, 25 on the life sentence, and then parole to do the consecutive 2006. Now this being 2018, and now completing the flat maximum of the consecutive, that I am eligible to file for the absolute discharge form.
Okay. You are eligible for to file for the absolute discharge along with the home arrest. I was just, when I did read this letter that you sent in, and I'm going to tell you that I went over your court documents too, that was directed as a part of this, that it's like on August 20th, this was filed. This was found guilty of first degree murder, class one felony and count two of armed robbery that you were convicted of. And you made a reference to the mitigating circumstances so that the death penalty should not be imposed. But in the letter it says, I was assuming, and maybe I misread the letter, that you were stating that because the court said that there were mitigating circumstances when you were convicted, that you felt as though you should be getting absolute discharge and not home arrest. Am I wrong or am I misreading?
No, I accepted, and the board, in the good grace of the board, they gave me a home arrest in September of last year. And I also have on the agenda is general parole to an absolute discharge.
Right.
And if you don't think, if the board, in grace of the board, if they don't think that I would be allowed the absolute discharge after completing my charter, and I haven't violated with any, the whole time I've been sentenced, I have not violated another crime. I have not been paged two for another offense. This is my very first offense that I've been convicted of a felony in the United States and the state of Arizona, that I feel that I asked the board for more privilege to the time that I've served, and a little bit more privilege that I would comply with the board's parole factors of general parole if they were allowed to grant me a general parole today.
Okay. So I was just trying to understand, because according to the letter, I was kind of, when I read it, it appeared that the letter was indicating that because of the special verdict that he had with the mitigating circumstances, that you felt as though you should get an absolute discharge. So I was just trying to understand the purpose of writing the letter that you wrote.
Yes, Mr. Johnson, there were special circumstances, and to be an abused child when I was growing up, and the court at the time felt that it was important to address my circumstances in my case, and they found that through only one aggravating factor and all the other factors, were that there was no dangerous involved in my crime. I didn't threaten nobody. I didn't brutally harm anybody. And then the courts came back and further mitigated my leniency from my charges to a lesser than presumptive with no prior convictions, and I've been trying in all aspects of my life to reform my life in total remorse for my crime.
Okay. So that's what I was just trying to understand after reading this letter, that I felt as though, but I do want to also say that, you know, according to the mitigating circumstances, and they found that there was leniency, that was in reference to you were found guilty of first degree murder, and so they found leniency and not filing the death sentence and giving you the 25 years to life sentence. So that was the leniency that they actually were going. So the reason that you didn't get the death sentence, because they found those mitigating circumstances to actually find leniency, which does not mean that basically that you served more or less time. It just means that they found some leniency that was just in reference to the death sentence, not in reference to the crime itself. So in responding to the reviewing the letter and the information that was sent in, that was a concern of mine when I read it. I'm going to tell you that when I read that and I read the letter, that they did call for leniency, but the leniency was the reason that you didn't get the death sentence, is the leniency that they actually filed. They didn't file for a lesser charge of like a second degree or manslaughter charge. They just did the leniency so that they wouldn't find the death sentence. And then you also appealed the mitigated term that they had, and that went in the Superior Court, and they did an appeal to the Supreme Court in the state of Arizona, and that was affirmed, and that they upheld the conviction at that time. And then you did a review for to try to grant relief that went before the state Court of Appeals, and the relief was denied at that time. And then you did a post-conviction relief, and that relief was denied all that time. So I'm just going through that, which I normally don't do, but I'm going through that as a result of the letter that was written, that you wrote to our director, that's attached to this file, that speaks about leniency, and it makes an appearance that because you had the leniency and didn't get the death sentence, that, you know, this board should thus give leniency and you should be given an absolute discharge.
Very respectfully, sir, and thank you, and I was given the privilege to do the 25 years and maybe be able to be recognized by a panel for release sometime in the future.
Okay. I just normally I wouldn't go through that, but because of that letter that was attached to it and because of what was said in that letter, that I felt that it was necessary to address that and then to go back over and review the documentation that you sent in. And I just wanted to make you aware that I did get the documentation. I did review that documentation that you sent in to review what was happening and make sure there was some clarity on it. I do think that I understand that you have some medical illnesses, so you haven't been able to actually look for work, but still you are under home arrest, and that as you are under home arrest, you know, you're not in prison, but you're still under the custody and authority of the prison. And I see that your parole officer has been doing, you know, working with you to try to make sure that those things are done. But it is important that those conditions that are put on you to not miss a UA, to take those UAs. And I take your word that you haven't done any drugs or did any drinking of alcohol, but the true test for that is to take those UAs, and to miss one and then, you know, not have the only explanation is that, you know, I thought I called in and I thought I, you know, they didn't, that doesn't do it. It's really important that you do. I want to just express to you the importance of following through, and also the importance of when you are do your weekly schedule, and that you're on that monitor, that you have to make sure that schedule, that you adhere exactly to the schedule that yes, you have. You can't be late. You can't do something different
then went to a controlled movement, it's supposed to be on there. So those are very serious violations, and people are violated for those things. And so I'm just trying to remind you how important it is to make sure that you do those, especially when you don't have a real reasonable excuse for not doing that. But based on the information that I have,
I do, sir.
And the progress report, you know, missing those things are important. But I do see that your PO has been working with you, and I just want to make sure that you're taking those things very serious.
I have taken them very serious.
Okay.
And sir, Thursday and Friday, leading up to that Friday, I was called my PO up because I had a doctor appointment on Thursday, but I didn't get. I was reported into my PO for travel almost every day, even though it was on my itinerary, to make sure that I was able to have a travel permit that day. And I tried to stay completely in contact with the parole office and my parole officer with full compliance with travel permits. And Thursday and Friday, I tried numerous times, 5 to 7 times, and I was not able to get a hold of him. I did not know I had him waived on that Friday.
Okay.
I didn't get to go. I had to reschedule for my itinerary for the following week for the appointment with my gallerologist at Osborne Plaza on Thursday. I tried to get it scheduled for Friday, and then this came up on Monday, and I shot right down there.
Okay.
And straight to the UA. I am strongly trying to express to the board of their grace that they gave me after serving all this time that I am going to comply with their rules.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure of that, sir. I'm telling you, I was a little bit alarmed when I read the letter that you wrote, and my intention of what it was meant to be, that you have been given home arrest, and that home arrest is the first stage that we usually go through with home arrest, and then we go to regular parole, and then we go to absolute discharge from that. But you know, you're the person, and only you can be the one to make that determination if it gets to that point. But you can only do that if you follow strictly, you know, all the rules and comply with what you're doing. What may be something simple to you could be something major, because you are still on while you're still on parole. You're still on you're still serving a lifetime sentence and can go back to prison. So I just want you to realize the seriousness of what's going on. Okay.
It's so serious to me that what you're saying and speaking on, that I have a letter from my behavioral health that it is my responsibility to prove to the board and to the community that I am working so hard at proving that I am an adult. I'm not the child that committed this crime years ago.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to see if the board has any questions for you.
Yes, sir. I think it's explained, and I think that the parole officer who's present, I think he's explained it as well. But it seems to me that you've been, let me put it as a question, have you been seeking employment? I recognize the fact that you have some health challenges, I'm conscious of that, but have you been seeking employment at all, sir?
I have seeked employment a few times. My brother is one of them, and then I seek employment through the job service workforce and for part-time work. As soon as I find out what my sense of my SSI would be, so I could do a part-time employment. And I also called the same people of the Arizona Job Association, and I never heard back from them because I am restricted to my house
Let me ask this, sir.
Yes, sir.
Please don't misinterpret what I'm asking, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You were unable to get employment through your brother, sir?
Just thought I've been doing all these doctor's appointments with my mother, and my mother's been very supportive in
supplying all the transportation, because I wouldn't be able to, my knees, I can show you, sir. I had 8 pins and 2 screws in my one leg, so I hyperextend.
I understand that now, I appreciate it, sir. I just want to make sure that I understand what was, what was going on, you know.
Yes, sir.
I knew you, you know, I guess what was in the back of my mind, the question in the back of my mind, and you totally, and it's the wrong terminology, but you totally disabled so that you would be on SSI and you would not be seeking employment, or whether you would be looking for employment in the future.
Well,
because if you're totally, you know, disabled, then of course you will not be looking for employment. So I'm not suggesting one way or the other, but that's what came to my mind. You know, if you're totally disabled, then then employment is out the picture. But if you're not, then you're always seeking employment. You're still a young man. I think I said that the last time I saw you. You're still a young man. So
well, I got those injuries when I was young, sir.
You're still young, sir.
I stretch every day, Mr. Wright, and try to keep it red.
I guess the other question I want to ask, and I know that you haven't been incarcerated those well many years. I understand that. And even if you have not been incarcerated, I would still understand it. But it seems to me that you rely very heavily upon your mother, and I'm not talking about for transportation, but for everything, that she's the, she's your rock. You're spending very heavily upon your mother. Are you in a position to kind of take some of that off of her and take the responsibility on your own, sir?
Yes, sir. That's what we're trying to accomplish and achieve. And since I've been home, since you allowed me to go home, I've been helping her I've been repairing little knick-knack things around her house, almost on a daily basis, because it was pretty, she don't just hire, she don't have an enormous amount of money to hire people to help her around her house. I've been fortunate enough, since you guys allowed me to be released, to assist her in little things like fixing screws in the door so the door hinges ain't coming off, trimming some bushes, or doing many little things that I can
do. I should know, but I didn't keep up with my own notes here.
Yes.
You actually reside with your mother at this time, sir?
Yes, yes.
The two of you live in the same house, I guess is what I'm asking.
Yes, Mr.
Okay. So how well, aside from her being responsible for everything for you, how well are the two of you doing, sir?
We're doing great, sir. I love her. I wash her dishes. I help her cook the meals. She has a couple of dogs. I tend to the dogs with water and food. I clean the rugs. I do a lot of things, special things.
So what else do you do, sir, aside from, you know, being assisting your mother? And I guess, you know, we're just trying to get to know you much better than that. And I know you have, you know, you have to come up with your schedule on a regular basis that you have to give to the to the senior parole officer. I'm conscious of all of that, but I mean, do you go out to a movie?
No, sir. You haven't allowed me that.
Do you do anything at all, sir?
No, sir. You haven't allowed me that freedom.
Okay, I'm asking. I'm not saying one way or another. I'm just asking. I just want to know what life is like.
The nutrition assistance really helps me, because I'm right there residing at my mother's home.
Mm-hmm.
There's a desert food bank that I've been going to, and I pay like $15 for the meat packet, and they give me vegetables and waters and different things that helps take care of me, you know. And through the privilege of you guys allowing me to go there, I just tried to show all confidence in me for you guys to prove to you and the state of Arizona that I want to improve my life. I brought a friend from the church today, or he brought himself, excuse me. And my first weekend out, I was singing to the, myself for the congregation, and then I was afforded to go to the mental health, and that was on Tuesday, and they took that away on Tuesday and put it on Sunday, then it intervened in between my churches. And I've almost completed the course. I have only 3 or 4 more.
So right now you still attending church, or that's still yes, kind of up in the air? Do you still attend church, sir?
Yes, sir. My mother goes, that church is her. She goes every Thursday. We were trying to record every Bible study, but it just didn't happen because of the time frames. And that's why I have, when I'm fully, I read the Word, I praise the Lord, and I still practice my Hebrew religiously every day, and I would like to advance my freedom factors.
Sorry, I hate to be naive. I hate to be naive, sir, but sometimes I'm just naive. Now, what do you mean that you practice your Hebrew every day, sir? Well, what that means?
Well, in Psalms 119 is the alphabet of the Bible. And through Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav.
So you know through all those chapters?
All 22.
All those chapters in Psalms.
All 22 chapters, 8 verses each chapter.
No, 119, that's the longest scripture in the Bible. I mean,
Psalms is the longest book in the Bible.
Psalms, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Psalms 119 is not the longest chapter within the whole book, but it is the one that's most in Israel and Jerusalem, that to the children that are most highly respected in them learning before their
children. So you're actually studying that in the Bible on a regular basis? Is that
yes, every morning.
Okay.
And I have been for well over a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you, sir.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rob. Let me see if the boys have any other questions. Okay, sir, if the board has any, don't have any other questions. I know that you have some supporters. I'm not sure if they're going to be speaking on your behalf or if you're the only person that's going to be speaking. If not, just go ahead and have a seat. We'll hear from the parole officers. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Okay. You can have a seat up here, sir. You don't have to go all the way back there. Have a seat up here.
All right.
Thank you.
You'll have to excuse me because sitting for long periods of time is hard for me.
Could you please state your name as you begin to talk to me, please?
My name is Anita Wywoods. Yvonne is my middle name, and I'm Jerry's mother. Did you want me to give you the address?
No, ma'am, that's just it. Okay. That's because we record this, so they'll know who's speaking.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Pardon me?
Go ahead, and you can speak.
Okay. I just want to say that it was wonderful, the hearing that you... I don't think you were sitting on the board. I might be wrong.
But they were, and
I just felt God's presence, and I felt so happy and relieved that it was the first time, and I've been to all of Jerry's hearings, that I just felt the presence, and it just awesome that you let him come to my house and live, because Jerry is an adult now. He respects me very fully, and he does do things that would cost me more, because the place does need, you know, maintained, and I'm not old. It's just that, you know, how your body kind of gives out on you as you get older. I call him my fix-it man, because he can miss very simple things that women love to have done around their house, unless you are wealthy and can afford, you know, somebody to come in and take care of your house. And Jerry, all he wants, and you have already given him a second chance to start making a life for himself and forgetting the past and moving on, and that's what I want for him. Now, this home arrest, I wasn't prepared for that, and it does limit as to what, you know, but I feel that it is my calling to be responsible for my son and see that he gets to his appointments. And I don't like the idea of not being able to attend my church. I go on Thursdays just to help out, like filling the bulletins and stuff like that. And we have a small church. This gentleman that's going to speak also, he is one of our members, and he volunteered, told me that there was anything he could do, you know, to help Jerry. And the neighbors are very, you know, considered. It's just, it's been wonderful for me because it has took so much stress off of me. And I just want to compliment the new parole board, because I just felt all these people know this already, but that it was like, what are you doing here supporting your son? And this last time when you finally, and Mr. Phillips is awesome, being parole officer, and of course he's way, way a lot younger than I am. He could be one of my sons. And I just don't want to take up a lot of time and rattle on, but I just want to compliment you all for looking at, you know, Jerry's case, because there was a lot of things that worth looking at. And he is wanting to, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't drink, there's no liquor in my house. And I just want you to know that it would help, though, to let him go off the home arrest. But Mr. Phillips won't be himself parole officer anymore, and he's become very helpful, and but he's, you know, he's educated for that, and I just won't take up any more of your time, but I just want to tell you of the appreciation, and it has really, really helped our family to, you know, mend. And it isn't easy for family, you know, especially mothers, if they really care about their children, you know. It's been just like I've been there right with Jerry the whole time. And there was mitigated circumstances. I know you want the best for Jerry just like I do. And we all want to. Well, anyway, thank you so much. And that's what I wanted to say to you.
All right, thank you. Does the board have any questions? The board has no questions. Okay, thank you. Sir, did you want to speak?
Sure.
If you would just come up, sir, and just state your name and go ahead and present what information you'd like to present to the board.
Yeah. My name's Rudy Hansen. I met Jerry about several months ago and at her church. And I want to be available to help him in his recovery, and I will be following up periodically with him and trying to help him be accountable, besides what you guys do. And there's another guy that was going to be here, but he's having a thyroid cancer operation today, and he would have been here also. From my contact with your FL, he's very responsive, and I don't know everything about him. We don't even know ourselves sometimes, but I'd be willing to work with him and try to help him in any way. So.
Thank you, sir. Does the board have any questions? Okay, thank you, sir. Mr. Phillips. Can we have your progress report and that you wrote up on Mr. Woods? I just wanted to just get anything else you want to add, any information you want to add to this board?
Parole Officer Mardell Phillips, Jerry's assigned parole officer. I just want to kind of clear up the violations again.
Okay.
It was December 6th, which is on a Wednesday. So initially what I require is for the individual to submit an itinerary. Mm-hmm. I usually have it, I want it in my email box on Fridays or text message. And I approve it on Monday for that Tuesday, for that following Monday. And that time Jerry had out at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. He would be shopping at Fry's with his mother. He did leave the residence about 11:22. He went in a violation at about 1 p.m. and then he arrived home at 1:47. So it's clear to see the violation at that point. He was scheduled out from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. He had 47 minutes in violation at that time. So he was staffed with the supervisor. Let's see. On December 29th, which is on Friday, he did fail to drop a UA. He had a difficult time hearing the assigned colors on the task color code line. He did drop on that Saturday, which is the second, which we do have some task facilities open on that on the weekend.
So I just wanted to clear that it seems that he's also behind on his fee payments, or delinquent in the fee payments?
Correct, yeah.
Or monitoring fees. So is that just, he usually keeps those up, or?
So right now he is behind about $130. We're in the process of trying to get it dismissed.
Okay.
He's trying to file for disability.
Okay.
We've been waiting for a while for that, so that's still in the works.
And the UA, he took one on Friday, and he took it again on Saturday?
Correct. It was a negative, no issues.
Okay. And so as far as working, he's just working on his disability?
So at times he says that he would like to obtain employment once he finds out, the restrictions placed on him from SSI. So he does not work. He makes that clear to me. But another issue that I'm trying to focus on with Jerry as well is his itinerary. So, for example, last night I was up at 1 a.m. working on his itinerary. It should have initially been submitted, on Friday, but he is struggling currently with technology, so we're trying to get him up to par with that. But that's pretty much it.
Okay. All right. Officer Phillips, anything else you want to add?
That's it.
All right. The board have any questions about Officer Phillips? Okay. Board has no questions. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you coming. I'll clear up some of that, too. Mr. Woods, we're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing. So if you want to come up here, is there anything else you'd like to present to the board at this time?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for allowing me to come today. And on the technology that my parole officer was, the last few things he was mentioning was that, yeah, we don't have a computer at my home.
Okay.
I haven't ever used a computer before going to the job workforce. And I mean, on the outside, because I've been in since computers were.
I've been around since they've been there, and I still have a problem.
like my parole officer said, the technology is a little slow with us, and I was hoping to do better. I went to some programs over the decades that I was incarcerated, and but it's far different.
different after not being on or using anything, education, the way that the prison started taking all the programs and just making, because the guys just kept getting younger and younger, and they just kept building prisons and warehousing. So I thought I'd be more ready with technology, and I'm not trying to really jump into technology. I'm just trying to slowly recover from the enormous amount of time that I was in prison. And so I will be adventuring the public libraries, because they have some computers access, and there's a few libraries that have computer program, educational programs, and then just continuing on to just slowly implement myself into the community and society that I was been deprived on all my life.
Okay. All right, Mr. Woods, I just want to give you, and I think I have a brother that's has a bunch of medical problems, but he uses access too. And, I think you may want to check, and access does actually help provide medical transport too. So if your mom's not able to always take you to some of your medical appointments, you may be able to go through access or some of those services where they actually, have a cab come pick you up. And
whenever they schedule appointments, they have that there.
Yeah.
But my mother wanted to show respect to you guys by being supervising me, and to show that her respect to the board and the state, and to supervise me, and know that yes, sir.
Okay. All right, sir. We're coming up on the conclusion of your hearing. Go ahead and have a seat. We're going to go into discussion. So while the board's in discussion, we'll make a determination as to what the board is going to actually do, okay? Okay, the board's now into discussion. We've had the opportunity to go through the files and the information that we actually have here on Mr. Woods. He is here for home arrest, absolute discharge, or a regular parole. He's been on parole since, I believe it was September of last year. It's probably a little over 6 months that he's actually been on home arrest that he has there. He does have a fee violation, and he has to have a couple of staffings, which has to do with what Mr. Phillips has explained to us, where he didn't adhere to his itinerary of his controlled movement. He did miss a UA, but he went back with Mr. UA on Friday, but he did go on that Saturday and actually take that UA, and he was negative at that time. However, I feel as though we should continue Mr. Woods' home arrest and have him have the opportunity to come back in 6 months and just view and see where he's at, if he's able to get those things under control, to make sure he's doing all his UAs, make sure that he's working on getting his fees. I know they're working on trying to getting him a release from those based on what his disability has to say and do. But I think that having him on home arrest is more of a help. Mr. Phillips is working with him and his mother, working with him on all that they can do to actually get it done. But I think that at this time it would be best to continue him on home arrest. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of the colleagues. Ms. Rittenhouse.
I agree with you, Mr. Johnson. He was approved for home arrest in September, but didn't really go out until around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So it's only been about 4 months or a little over. So I think probably a little more time on home arrest would be good, given the violations and the being behind on the fees and all of that. Get that all squared away.
Okay. Mr. Kenyans.
Yeah, I want to say this in respect to Mr. Wood's journey, but as one board member, I'm sensing the shock of someone who entered the prison system probably at age 20 and was granted supervised release in his 50s. And I think that there's a good reason why privileges, that is to say, moving from home arrest to regular parole and the possibility of absolute discharge, are gradual and restrictive. and this case may require more transition time for adjustment to the community. Thank you.
Is there more comments?
No, I agree.
All right, then. I do also want to make a note that I was concerned about this, and the letter that was actually written to the executive director, Ms. Kirchbach, to make sure that we did address this letter and the comments in there. But I'm pretty happy with the understanding after having the opportunity to talk to Mr. Woods as well as to the parole officer, Mr. Phillips, that we all have an understanding and that Mr. Woods is only trying to get to the point where he can be successful out there and be a productive citizen out there. So I do want it to, you know, make sure we put that on the record too. So I'm going to make a motion to continue Mr. Woods on home arrest at this time and deny absolute discharge or regular parole at this time.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, Mr. Woods.
Thank you.
Sir, if you just step up, the board has continued you on your home arrest. You've heard the discussion that has taken place about the home arrest. That just give us some more time to continue to work on it, sir. We did get the letter and acknowledge the letter that you have, that you wrote in here, that your mom's doing an excellent job. You have some support from the church to continue to help you. Just want to make sure that you understand the importance of making sure that you maintain the controlled movement that you actually have. And, you know, you said that you're going to be going to the library to try to get on the computer to try to make sure you get those things down to your parole officer, because you got an excellent parole officer who's doing everything he can to try to assist you and help you. All you have to do is continue to work with him, and I'm sure all of these things will work out in the end. So I want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity. Thank your mom for taking the time and opportunity to come out here. Sir, I want to thank you for taking the opportunity for coming out here and presenting to the board at this time. And Mr. Woods, that's going to conclude your hearing at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.